Marla and I talked about this a little before, and I'm going to relate some of my experiences that play right into this. It's interesting. I'm going to use some actual examples that occurred prior to social media burgeoning and the Me Too movement, but it's every bit as applicable and relevant to what we're talking about today. So I'm going to hook the audience a little bit. If you'll indulge me, I'm going to read to you actual verbiage from a complaint that was filed by an employee against CEO in a company in a situation I dealt with in a prior life. And I think once I read this, you'll get a little bit of a flavor for what's going on today. And this was a six-page letter, okay? Single-spaced. And I'll just read a little excerpt. He started to verbally attack me by slamming his fist on his desk, yelling at me, throwing and slamming papers around, tossing around large books, throwing newspapers that were on his desk. He was talking to himself, calling me an idiot and stupid. This behavior had happened before on a regular basis with an earshot of the entire executive area. The entire area heard his tirade. The office was so quiet you could hear a pin drop, and the office door was open the entire time. After he finally finished his rant, I started shaking uncontrollably and returned to my desk and totally broke down in tears. Skipping on to a little bit more detail, all the mental torture he inflicted on me, then he looked at me and said, "All is well between us." He held up his fist in the air towards me as I first didn't know what he was doing. I flinched. He said, "Now give me a fist bump to show we're okay." I stood there in disbelief. He continued to speak to me like I was a child, saying, "Now, come on, that wasn't so bad. Give me a fist bump." Finally, still shaking uncontrollably, I held up my fist next to his, and he gave me a fist bump. I was so distraught, I called in sick the next day. And lastly, to give you a flavor for the claim that was the nature of this filing, he has single-handedly created a hostile work environment with cruel and unusual treatment towards senior citizen, older female team members, and that he has created an atmosphere of mobbing in the workplace by having other executives make false statements and act if they have no idea of the bizarre behavior.
And Mark, that was against the CEO of the company?
Yeah. Now, that was a letter that came in to me and was directed to the board, and that was the first inkling after this person had been terminated from a prior position. So that gives you a little bit of a flavor for the nature of the claim. And we'll talk a little bit about what we did and how we responded to that to give you some indications of how you might handle these type of things and what the outcome is as well.
The fact of the matter is, anytime you have a complaint, and I don't know if you guys have ever received the six-page single-spaced letter. I know in my prior life I certainly have, more than one occasion. That's usually a bad day, and particularly when it involves an executive and the CEO to boot. I mean, you've just changed the entire nature of probably how you would typically respond to that type of complaint. And probably your first consideration is going to be, who's going to investigate, right? Because, you know, if you have in-house people, HR folks, for example, who typically do investigations, it is really uncomfortable and frankly not really practical for them to investigate somebody in the C-suite, right? Because they're investigating someone who has control over their future employment at the same company. The same thing's true for in-house counsel, for you guys, right? I mean, a lot of times companies will turn to their in-house lawyers and say, "Look, we want you to handle this." But it's the same analysis, right? You are potentially going to be put in a position where you are going to have to investigate someone who controls your future at the company. And again, very, very uncomfortable. And keep in mind, when you're doing some of these investigations, particularly on the employment side, you are asking, in some cases, very pointed, very personal questions. I had a sexual assault allegation against a vice president of a major corporation. And I had to sit down and ask a whole lot of very specific questions about exactly what happened in a hotel room after the two individuals involved had several drinks and couldn't remember how they got there. So, I mean, imagine that for a moment if you're having to question your own CEO or your own VP about that type of behavior. It's very difficult. And in addition to that, if in the unfortunate circumstance there's litigation afterwards, you can imagine that the first thing a plaintiff's attorney is going to point out is, well, this investigation was no good. It was biased, right? Because the person who conducted it was in-house, and how could they possibly be neutral?
Yeah, so a couple points that I think are relevant to the audience and were important to me. First is, you have to think about keeping your job, okay? because now you're put in this situation where you've got, whether it's your CEO, your boss, your VP, it doesn't matter who it is, but you are now put in the middle of this and asked to do the right thing, but you are also asked to do it in a certain way. And I did not have that situation. I have in the past with this claim, but I have with other CEOs where they want to direct what is going on. Okay, that's not unusual. But as I said, you know, playing monkey in the middle is a fine line between juggling how you're going to save your soul as well as the soul of the company and keep your integrity and do the right things as well throughout the course of the investigation. So in this situation, I had a very good relationship, but yet had to be very, very candid with my CEO that we were going to have to conduct a full and formal investigation. And so I turned to outside counsel and hired outside counsel immediately to come in and to start the process through the investigation, which we'll talk about in a little bit of detail. And the situation was not a good one. I'll be quite honest with you. The CEO did not react favorably to the whole situation. And when outside counsel sat down and delivered the message, which then allowed me to be the good cop and him to be the bad cop, so to speak, at that time, which helps you alleviate some stress in your position, it was not a pleasant conversation because it was so candid and because it was raw and it was real. And so who lives with that fallout after outside counsel leaves and goes back to their job outside the office? You do, and I do.